Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Faith Worship Center's weekly sermon. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by this week's message as we all live to bring more of heaven to earth.
I've been noticing a pattern, and the Lord's been speaking to me directly, about dreams, like dreaming again, passions coming to realization and all that, right? And it was so cool that the first Sunday we had this year, Paul spoke, and he really honed in on how we all have a unique gift and calling and passion and expression of that, and that we bring that to the body of Christ, and we're not all supposed to look the same. It's supposed to look a little different. If you guys missed it, you should check it out. I would suggest watching the stream because he has the visuals with some potato heads, and it's awesome. So that was awesome. And then I think the week after Daryl spoke, and the last couple weeks, he's been sharing. He gave a word specifically the first Sunday he spoke in 2024 about dreams being realized and that dreams coming into completion, that things that we've been waiting on the Lord for, that we've been hoping, that we've been contending for, that 2024, because 20 is a number of completion, is going to happen this year, right? And so This is like exciting, right? Because I'm like, okay, before we even had a Sunday, because we missed the first one because it was a snow day, right? The Lord was totally talking to me about this. And I had a realization, okay, because this weekend, how many of you guys know what's happening this weekend in the calendar? Chinese New Year. Ellen knows. She's got some Asian. Yeah. Gong Hei Fa Choy. Let's go. Okay. I am half Chinese. My father is from Hong Kong, and this weekend is Chinese New Year. And guess what year it is of the, like, the every year, every 12-year cycle, there's, like, an animal that goes with it? It's the dragon! Yeah, who's a dragon? Oh, my dragons! Yeah, roar! Like, let's go! Dragon, born in 88, baby, 2024 is the year of the dragon. It's our year. Are you guys ready, dragons? Because it's gonna be fire. It's gonna be fire. So when I realized it was the year of the dragon, I was like, honestly, what happened to me? I was like, this Holy Spirit moment came over me, and it was like this holy push came on me. It was like, oh my gosh, this is my year. Like, this is the year that I gotta do these things that I've been kind of waiting to kind of step into or kind of dancing around or kind of doing. But it's like, this is the year I'm going to see those come into fruition and see them into completion. Like, it's the year of the dragon. Like, and so I felt this like holy push from the Lord, like, get on it, girl. You know, kind of, you guys ever get that from Holy Spirit where it's just like, it's like hope, tangible hope, that confident expectation that like God's going to do something. And I got to get ready, or I got to be ready because it's happening, right? And so anyways, the Lord spoke to me about that like early this year, and then all of the messages here and in our leadership meetings, like the Lord has really just been emphasizing dreaming, awakening up to our passions and our desires, and really going after those. So I want to kind of lean more into that and give a little impartation of that holy push that I received from Holy Spirit. Yeah. And guess what? I got visuals. Oh, I was able to do my visuals. Can we get the first slide up, guys? Yeah. A holy push to pursue your dreams. Are you guys ready? So in order to kind of like focus on how to pursue dreams and stuff, it's helpful for me to kind of like look at the flip side of like what might be standing in the way of me believing I can pursue a dream or go after it. And so the way I kind of frame this is we're going to look at a few hindrances or obstacles that might come in the way and blocking us from dreaming, and then see the Lord's answer through scripture and just a perspective shift into how we can build towards our dreams. Okay. Should be fun. You guys ready? So let's hit the next slide. I want to start with a question. We're going to look at some dream blockers. And so what are some things that get in the way of us dreaming? What are some things you guys think get in the way? Feeling like you don't deserve your dream. Ooh, that's powerful. That's real. Anyone else? Unbelief? Yes. Unbelief that it can actually happen. Totally. Disappointment. Yeah. What if it doesn't happen? All that. Rita, go ahead. Fear? Fear more like it won't happen, or fear that it will happen and then you're kind of like, whoops. Do you guys ever have that? Where it's like, wait, do I really want this? Because if it does happen and it's going to happen, like, what does this actually mean? Then I actually have to show up, right? But anyways, sorry. Fear, that's real. And many layers of what fear can look like in dreaming, right? Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Becky. You guys, we could go home. We could go home. You guys are hitting things on the nose. Waiting, waiting, time, patience. Ooh, sometimes it can feel like you're missing out a little bit, maybe. Yeah, anyone else? Yes, go ahead, Judith. Distractions. Ooh, your hair's so cute. I love that haircut. Okay, distraction. Sorry, I just got distracted. Like, how perfect was that? I just got distracted by your beauty. So sometimes the Lord can redeem distractions, right? Okay, let's just say that. But yes, getting distracted or just feeling like instead of having like a focus, sometimes we can get a little sidelined and bunny trailed, right? And that can sometimes defer us a bit. Anyone else? Go ahead, Irene.
Not asking God.
Not asking God. Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Doing it by your own strength. That's striving. Oh, that's oof. That's a. Or just not even asking. Oh my gosh, Lisa, you speak my language. You speak my heart language. Just not even asking, right? Like. All right. Go. One more in the back. Ooh, naysayers. Get off that social media. Don't listen to them naysayers. They don't know you, right? That's a good one. That's a big one today, yeah? All right. You guys hit so many beautiful ones. I feel like I'm going to talk about all of them, but I don't know. We might not get to all of them, but you almost named everything I thought of as well. So it's really encouraging to my heart to know that we're vibing on the same spirit. We got the Holy Ghost, and he's talking to us. So let's hit this first one on slide number 3 here. The first dream blocker I want to talk about is disqualifying. This was the first one Lisa mentioned, right? Sometimes we can disqualify our dreams because we have this belief that the desire to do them isn't enough. It's not enough. It has to have a means to an end. It has to show something. It has to make a difference. It has to, whatever, fill in the blank, right? And often when we have that belief, it leads to spiritualizing and moralizing our dreams. And when we do that, we get stuck in this like spiritualized filter and we sift all of our dreams and passions through it. And we're like, okay, I have this desire to, you know, go on this missions trip, but I don't know because it costs money and it's time and I'd be away from my family and that feels really selfish and also like money's tight, so how are we going to find the funds, and I don't like asking people for whatever, you know. It's like, is this the Lord? But we can even do the hard thing of like moralizing and being like forcing ourselves to do something even because it's like that's the Christian thing to do. That's the spiritual thing to do. So even though if we have opposing things like an opportunity to go on a mission trip or an opportunity to go on vacation, it was like, uh-oh. I kind of want to go on vacation. Is that okay? I don't know. Is that okay? I don't know, right? So anyways, one of the ways that I really love to break this down even more so is like when it comes to desires, especially when it comes to the practical stuff, like actual stuff, let's just break it down really basic, like things, never mind dreams, aspirations, and hopes and all of this stuff with our lives and what. Let's just talk about things, stuff, okay? And because stuff is a great thing. Like what if, you know, if anyone wants like to go on a trip on a nice vacation, anyone want to travel to Europe or Hawaii or Asia, you know, like during Chinese New Year. Like, come on, Lord. Someday. I will eat my way through Asia. Someday. It's going to happen. Just want to eat all the nations. That's on my dream list, okay, guys? But stuff, you know, like, what about a car? How many of you guys like cars? I know some of you guys like cars because this came up in our leadership meeting. And it was like, hey, some of you guys like them fast cars, the fancy cars, whatever. So you guys are like, I don't know, house? Oh, man. Maybe we shouldn't talk about that one. Oh, I want a house. Lord, do something to this market in Jesus' name. Like, let's go. Break open the floodgates. Let sales start happening so people can move and get and upgrades and all of that. You know, you want a house, you want land, you want, I don't know, a puppy. What, you know, what, I don't know. What do you want? But like, you know, sometimes it can be a little silly, right? Like, oh, I feel silly asking God for like stuff, right? But all you parents and grandparents out here, do you ever not enjoy giving gifts to your children or grandkids? It's like the funnest thing, right? It's like the most joyful thing when it's your child's or grandchild's like birthday or Christmas or whatever, and you get to give gifts. I mean, even if gifts are not your love language, you get into it because you just see the excitement and the joy and the love and of your child just getting to just get the thing that they wanted, you know? It's just a beautiful thing. You know, Nova's birthday's coming up soon. She was born February 13th. And it'd be so silly if Dan and I asked her, you know, Nova, what do you want for your birthday? And she's just like, whatever you want to give me. I hate that answer. I hate it. It's like, even though I say it sometimes. No, actually, I don't. I don't think I do that. Right, Dan? No. I always have something in mind. You know. But, you know, it's just like sometimes we can, just really practically speaking, like, we want to hear our children say what they want because it is just the funnest thing to get them exactly what they want, right? Man, there was, you know, Nova, this Christmas, she really wanted a pink electric guitar, and it was out of stock. There was, like, the specific one, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I couldn't even find it on eBay. It was, like, it disappeared. It was, like, around for a month. In a catalog. Who gets catalogs anymore, right? But my girls found a catalog, and so they wanted this guitar, and then, like, Nova, that's what she asked for, and I couldn't give it to her, and I hated that. It sucked, man. So when you can't give your kids a thing that they really want, I mean, she was fine. We had a Merry Christmas, but still, it's just like, it stinks when you can't get the thing that your kid wants, especially the specific thing. Like, ask for specific things from the Lord and see what he does, you know? Those details. Pink guitar, not a black one, you know? Come on, we can get into it. Because it is a delight to give your children the desires of their heart. And how much more does your heavenly Father delight in giving you good gifts? How much more? That's good. It's so funny why we judge ourselves for having certain wants, not wanting to seem needy. You guys ever feel that? It's okay, God. I'll pray for others. I don't need to pray for myself. You got me. I'm good. I don't need anything. I don't want to be needy. Woof. That's a hard one. That is layered with therapy and all of the things that I'm working on in therapy. Honestly, it's like, this is ask for needs. It's like, okay, Julie, my therapist, God bless her. She's amazing. But anyways, yeah, like, it's layers if we don't have wants, but it can be reflected, like, in our story of just trying to survive and feeling like we couldn't have needs. Anyone can relate to that, right? It's too disruptive. It was too much, whatever the messaging was that we received. I really encourage you to just slow down and see where that narrative came from, and then to not pin that on God, because that's not his heart for you, right? His heart is to give us good gifts. Yeah. I love this. Let's hit the next slide. Okay. This is kind of the counter side of it. Joy is most often the marker of purpose. Dreaming and desires are fun. They should be fun. Play is a great filter Filtering through play, filtering through joy is a much better filter of what is the dream you want to pursue. What is inside you to do? What is the desire of your heart? If it brings you joy more than anything, most times, that's going to be the marker of what is your dream? What's your passion? What is your calling? It should be fun. If it ain't fun, move on. Like, let it go. Try something new, you know? Play is a big part of how we discover what our dreams are. And instead of asking, like, what is my dream? Because sometimes that can be overwhelming when it's like, what are the things I want to do? Let's, you know, like, figuring it out. Or it can be a very overwhelming feeling. But it's like, if we ask ourselves instead, what's fun for me? What do I love doing? What makes me come alive? What makes me, like, confident and creative and clear and all the good C words, you know, like that are good, that are just inspiring. So play is a much better filter than is it good or bad or spiritual or unspiritual? Is it selfish or godly or whatever we try and do when we can disqualify a dream by moralizing it or over spiritualizing it? Yeah. You know, and fun is a great thing. It doesn't mean that it's not going to cost us sometimes, right? Sometimes to pursue a dream takes work, right? It could take work. It could take obstacles. Sometimes will get in the way. It could take perseverance because it takes longer than we had hoped. And we can, you know, if we don't get weary while doing good, you know, like if we can stay in the game, that's hard stuff. This is hard stuff, right? But the cost isn't in compromising your dreams. The cost is more of just like the faithfulness and the wherewithal to just be focused on like, this is what I'm called to do and I'm not going to give up on it. Does that make sense? Okay, I want to share with you guys this really cool concept. Let's hit the next slide. It's called Ikigai. It's a Japanese concept. The other Asian. I'm from, my dad's from Hong Kong. This is another Asian side, okay? So this is Japanese, the other Asians. We're going to borrow this concept from them, though, okay? So it's okay. Yeah. Many, many kinds of Asians out there, just saying. But I love that the Japanese culture, there's this concept called Ikigai. And it is kind of like a reason for being, a Japanese concept referring to something that gives a person a sense of purpose. The reason for being and for living. And it's more than just like trying to achieve goals or whatever. It's this posture of having, seeing purpose in your everyday life. That every day you get to wake up and do the thing that you love or do the thing that you're meant to do in this world. And it can be as simple as cooking or as like sewing or attending a garden or whatever. But like, I first heard of Ikigai in the documentary where it's talking about the blue zones of areas in the country where there's people that are just living into their hundreds. And there's like a concentration of certain parts in the world where, yeah, people are just living longer. And all of the different, you know, researchers are getting all on into it. Like, why are these specific areas have people that are living longer? And so trying to find many reasons, you know, everything from diet to exercise to purpose. And purpose is a big part of that. And in Japan, there's this one certain area, Okinawa, I believe, which is like an island off of the mainland island, that has many that live well into their 90s, 100s, and they're all doing something. They all have something they do, and it just keeps them going. But it's this posture, this belief that like every day is a gift, and every day there's something to be satisfied in. There's something to be satisfied in. I want to read scripture that goes really well with this in Psalm 63, 1-11, and I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. This is fun. God, you're my God. I can't get enough of you. I've worked up such hunger and thirst for God, traveling across dry and weary deserts. So here I am in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and glory. In your generous love, I am really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains. I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners of praise to you. I eat my fill of prime rib and gravy. I smack my lips. It's time to shout for praise. I mean, glorious that there is food in praise. Can we just, amen. If I'm sleepless at midnight, I spend the hours in grateful reflection. Because you've always stood up for me. I'm free to run and play. I hold onto you for dear life, and you hold me steady as a post. I love that. I'm free to run and play. Isn't that good? And then Psalm 103:5 says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? There's something connected about pursuing dreams that keeps us young. Renews our youth. It's very interesting. It's very interesting. Yeah. So you guys, God's not finished with you. You still have so much dreaming to do. Amen. Don't think it's too late. There's so much to do still. And, it should be fun. It's going to be fun. Okay, let's do slide 6. Or the next slide. Sorry, I have them numbered, but you guys don't have the number. Sorry, the next slide. Okay, dreams are not an achievement. They are an expression of what is already inside of you. Okay, when Holy Spirit dropped this in my mind, maybe focus on it, I was like, ooh, this is good. I like this because sometimes the way I'm wired, I can be very goal-orientated. I like to do, I don't know, I just think it's fun to do stuff. It's just like the way I'm wired. It just is like water to me if I was a fish, you know. Just like fun to do stuff. Why wouldn't you do anything? That should look like something, right? Like, let's go. I love this paradigm shift where it's not necessarily this external goal that's beyond me that I'm trying to attain. That dreams and passions are the things that are already inside of me that get expressed when they're realized. Okay. It's because it made me think of if you ever, you know, growing up or if you try new things, if you ever tried like dancing, I don't know if any young ballerinas were here, but if you were put in ballet class, theoretically, if it was an external goal, the more you go to ballet class, the more you would love ballet. That's not necessarily the case, right? Were any of you forced to go to like ballet or some kind of class that you just hated, but you were like, you had to stick it out? Yeah. So it doesn't work. It's not external, right? Like if it was that, then the more you do something, the more you would like love it, but that's not true. But when we are exposed to something that might be new to us, a new experience that we didn't realize that we had a passion for, that exposure is good, but that exposure is what awakens what's already inside of you, right? Do you guys ever have those aha moments? You just stumble onto like, oh my gosh, I was made to do this. I didn't know I could do this. I need to keep doing this, right? You guys ever have those moments? It's an awakening of something that's already there. Don't think that you have to try and cook up some dreams. Look what's already there. The desires are in your heart. They're in you. Yeah? Okay. How are we doing? Let's do the next slide. Let's talk about another dream blocker. Idolizing. Idolizing. Now, this isn't about like making your dreams idols and like, that's not exactly, I mean, that's not a good thing to do either, but like, that's not what I'm talking about here. This has to do, sometimes, if we have a little tendency to be a little idealistic, we can get a little judgmental and a little bit needy of controlling things because it needs to look just so. Yeah? Yeah? You guys not? You guys vibing with me? Because idealizers, they don't need, like, when you have it, they don't need encouragement to dream, right? They got dreams, man. And usually they're big, juicy, lofty ones. Like, bam, like, let's go. But oftentimes, the actual follow through can be a little bit of a stumbling distance, right? Because of this tendency to judge the dream and a tendency to need to control every single detail of it to look just so, right? If it's not this, I'm not even going to try to, like, climb up the ladder to get there. I just want to jump. I want to jump from the ground all the way to the ceiling and not have to use a ladder. Oh, man. Oh, this is, it's hard. One of my kids is like this. Well, you guess which one. It's hard getting her to try new things because she wants to be good at it right away. And if she's not, it takes a little encouragement. Like, it's good. Actually, there was this, okay, you guys know Bluey? You guys know that show? All right, I got kids of littles, right? Even you older kids, right? Bluey is awesome. Bluey was made for parents. I don't know about you. I mean, I've heard rumors that they made it in cartoon and they add, like, you know, Bluey and Bingo to be a little bit silly. But really, it's to, like, encourage parents because they know that they're there watching it. And I've cried many episodes of Bluey. So, anyways, Bluey is an awesome show. They just released a few new episodes, too. So I was watching with my girls, and they were all, the episode was like, they were all drawing together as a family, and there's a mom and a dad and two girls. It's like my family. A mom and dad and two girls, and they were all just, like, drawing at the table, and the mom could draw really well. Like, was, like, you know, pretty good at drawing things, and the dad was a little bit crazy. they're kind of like, Dad, you draw a little bit crazy. And then they each tell their story of drawing. And you kind of like, and they like animate it in a cute way. But the dad says, well, when I was growing up, I was at school and I used to love to draw cars. And so I was drawing cars at school one day. And then this other kid came up and said my drawing was stupid or ugly or not good. So then he stopped drawing. It made him stop drawing. Whereas the mother, she tried drawing and couldn't get it right away, but then her mom encouraged her to keep trying. The more you do it, the more you'll get it, and it's going to get better and better. So, therefore, as adults, the dad still couldn't really draw very good, but the mom had this craft and this ability to draw pretty well. And wouldn't you know, like, that difference of just, like, the messaging that we get. Like, if we're discouraged and told it's not good, can shut down a dream sometimes, can shut down a desire because of a naysayer, right? But if we just push through, we know, no, I might not get it right now, and it's frustrating that this doesn't look the way I want it to look, but I'm going to keep at it. Wouldn't you know that God is faithful in faithfulness when we show up and keep at it? If it's really a desire, do it because it's a desire, not because it needs to look like something else, right? So idolizing can get a little bit dangerous there because it can often get us stuck in like a analysis paralysis too. Like, needs to be a certain way, and then it's like, oh, I don't know where to start, and then we just don't start, and we get stuck. So let's do the next slide. The dream builder for idolizing. Ooh, that's okay. They'll get it. So can we trust God with our dreams? Because trust is a big, big deal for the need to control or any judgments. It's letting go. Trust, one of my favorite definitions of trust is letting go. Letting go. Can we trust God with our dreams? Can we let go of needing to control how it looks and trust that he's going to be faithful to see us through? And I love this scripture from Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Commit it to God. Trust God in it. And he's going to establish. What a promise. What an awesome promise. Like, whatever we do, we get to do it unto the Lord. Okay, first of all, that's awesome. That's fun. That anything we do isn't just doing it, that it actually is a fragrance of worship. The fact that, like that's cool. Everything you do has purpose in one way. Like, come on. We are purpose people. That's beautiful. But when we are, when we see that and we're faithful to trust him with whatever we do, he promises to establish it, to make it so. That's such a good promise, you guys. That's such a good promise. And then, I want to read this other scripture from Psalm 37. Okay. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart, right? I already mentioned this. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. It's just this reminder. It's all over scripture that when we delight, like I love how delight is brought into this again. It should be fun. This is a fun thing we get to do, you guys. Dreaming with God, getting to pursue the things that we like are passionate about. Like I love the definition of passion, right? Where it's almost like this pain. Like you ever have things that you know you're so called to do and you need to do that it hurts a little bit? Because it's just like, ugh, I got to do this. I don't know what it looks like, but I got to do this. And it's just like this pulling. That's fun. And then what was mentioned before, God's timing, what Becky said. God's timing is not our timing. And this can be hard for if we idealize things or if we have a hard time trusting and believing God will come through. Because if it doesn't happen when we think it should happen, so often people stop and give up. Like, you get a prophetic word, and you're just like, that's supposed to happen next month. That's why it's like, when we teach prophetic, we're like, no dates. Just don't do dates, because we don't want people to get false hope, because God's timing is not our timing. You know? And it's really tricky when you throw out dates in there. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes people do it, and it works out, and they're like, that's a mystery. But I'm just like, I don't want to throw out dates, because it's too risky. Growing, though. We're growing. But anyways, it's just like, because God's timing is not our timing so often. And we can think that we've missed it somehow. It's like this epidemic of FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. That's what FOMO is. Fear of missing out. And it's not just like, I got to try all the things. It's FOMO manifests, I think, in this way too. In a way where it's like, if it doesn't happen now, we're going to miss out. And then it's like this push, and then it's like this striving, and then it's like this not fun thing anymore. And then you might rush something prematurely. And then when premature dreams happen, it just can be harder, I think. I think it just, you guys, like the story with like pop singers, you know, or young actors sometimes that were like, maybe got famous too young or... I mean, I don't want to make any judgments at all because I don't know, but like often when there's young artists, pop artists that get famous and get this in like world exposure at such a young age and they're just, their psyche's not quite ready for it. It can be really damaging, right? It could really hurt their heart and their soul and stuff. So anyways, the timing of the Lord is wisdom. The timing of the Lord is sovereign. The timing of the Lord is protection for us. And if we can just trust him in that, then it helps us not get so frustrated in it not happening right now. And it helps us not give up to think that we missed it. Don't give up. Just because it hasn't happened and it's taken not just 1 year, but it's taken 5 years, maybe even taken 10 years. The Lord, he's with you. And don't give up on it. All right. Oh, I do want to brag on my husband a little bit because he does this well. I didn't tell you I was going to do this. So, okay, speaking of music, sorry, I have to make up for the last time I introduced him was so bad. I, like, made you guys all afraid of him, and I was like, that was the worst introduction of my amazing husband ever. So now I'm like, I got to make him sound even more amazing. He doesn't care. I care, though. But my husband does this really well in watching, like, not being so idealistic with dreams. Because my husband has a lot of passions and desires. And one of those things, one of his main passions, is music. You guys know my husband's a musician, right? You see him play drums, he can kind of do it all. But back in the day, he was in a band, right? Back in the day, he got into music at, what, 15 you got your first electric guitar? 13, oh my gosh. 13, he got his first electric guitar, played that thing, started a band when he was a teenager, made music. Goofed around a lot, but like made music, recorded, started touring the country, a couple tours you did, like had like in shows with like POD and Project 86, like Norma Jean, all of these like really like top rock bands, right? Yeah, my husband's a rock star. Just, yes. I love that about him. Okay. So my husband's a rock star, right? And anyways, so they're doing all this stuff. It's great. And then the band breaks up. Never made world tour. Never did a hit album that made it to any charts. Sorry. I'm making them sound awful. I know. I'm sorry. But, okay, anyways, let's look at that. Like, in one way, it can look like he failed. Oh, my gosh. Dan failed in his dream of trying to be a rock star. What? Sorry. No. No, I'm saying that some might judge it. I am not judging that. Because what is the truth is, like, that didn't stop him from pursuing music. That didn't stop him from pursuing songs and writing and playing music and all of that. And, you know, he kept at it. And he was a part of the church, like, band and youth band. And then, you know, that's how we became friends. So he got me because of music, you know? Like, and... But then he, you know, got it into recording and converted our shed into a studio. And now he's not only recording his own music, he records other artists' music. You know, it's like, it's still this passion that he is pursuing. And just because it doesn't look like the typical rock star story doesn't mean that the music and the passion and the calling to pursue that, that he's failed at it. Just looks different. Everybody's story looks different. It's funny because in bigger industries like music and entertainment and stuff, we can have such limited ways of seeing what success, quote unquote success, looks like in making it, right? And so we can often dismiss our passion for it because of an ideal of it looking like, you know, a million followers or I don't even know music. The music industry has changed so much now with with so much, but. But, you know, just because it doesn't look like those specific things, you know, like a success story overnight, which oftentimes those success stories, we get exposed to the 1 hour of success that they've spent 10,000 hours in secret, right? But because we see the 1 hour of success, we're like, I got to do it like them immediately. Or if it doesn't happen in a year, then I'm not good enough. Or then I should stop this dream and it's dead. It's like, no. The media is very bad at giving us a whole story, right? Because it needs to be highlights, whatever. So just know that, like, just because it doesn't look like a specific example that we've only had, that doesn't limit God and having that dream come to life in you. Get outside of that box. Pursue it, because it's in you, yeah? I know for me, music's in me. I'm gonna be doing music my whole life. We'll probably be making songs in our hundreds, right? Oh, you guys are sweet. Oh, man. But yeah, it's just, but I love it because I get to do it. I get to sing. I get to play music with friends and worship with you guys. And yeah, it's just fun. So it's good. Okay, let's do the next slide here. Let's talk about one more dream blocker. Okay? Comparing. Woo! This is the danger one. Comparing our dreams and our gifts against one another. Not good, because guess what? Leads to criticism, and criticism literally kills creativity. There was a book I had. Do you guys know Matt Stinton? He's a worship leader at the Kingdom Life in Portland, Maine, right? Great guy. He used to be a part of Bethel Music and was a worship leader there. Back in the day, Dan used to, like, do worship because he lived in New Hampshire, and we used to play music and worship together, too. But anyways, Matt wrote a book on songwriting, and there was one portion of the book where he talks about a study that some scientists did where they were testing the brain waves and brain activity of like, creativity and what parts of your brain are activated when you're creative and all that. So they did it with a jazz musician that was a pianist, jazz pianist, and they had him just kind of like freestyle and have fun with it and all that, and they were like marking all the parts of his brain that were activated, like indefinitely the creative part. And then they gave feedback and gave some criticism, and then they asked him to do it again, and then he wasn't able to. Like, the part of his brain literally shut down. It was like, and the other part of his brain that was more analytical and critical took over. And they realized that the two parts of the brain cannot operate at the same time. Like, it's physically impossible to be critical and creative at the same time. Our brains don't work that way. So, in dreaming, in pursuing passions, it is so important to not be critical and judgmental towards your desires, because it will shut off creativity to be able to see how to get it done. It requires creativity to see our dreams realized, I think. And so it's really important to not compare and go and think that our dreams need to look like so-and-so's, and if not, then we've missed it somehow. Paul actually spoke really well on this when he spoke in January, and he talked about how if we get stuck in comparison and we all think we have to look like the same, it's just as silly. So again, it's such a big deal. Ooh, don't get caught in the trap of criticizing what isn't happening. Kind of going back to that timing thing. Because that will lead to blame. Whether you start blaming yourself or you start blaming others. If only I had this resource. If only I had enough money. If only I had enough time. If only they would be like this. If only this person would get their stuff together and start cooperating. Or if only my boss or my leader would be not who they are, then I could really pursue my dream. You know, like all these if only things are kind of like this external excuse that it's a criticism. It's a judgment against others to just avoid us actually owning our dreams, I think. And in that narrative, you know, you become a victim. You aren't the victor in it. And that's not who you are, beloved. You are victorious and you are creative. Okay, let's keep going here. The next slide. What do I have here? Oh, ooh, I like this too. When dreams become goals, they are lonely. But when dreams become revelations, they are connection. There's this beautiful condition that I believe the Lord kind of placed in how he created us in pursuing our dreams. There's this otherness. There's this intention for connection, I think, that happens when we really go after our dreams that is intentional by the Lord to make it so that we can't do it alone. When we do it alone, it becomes an achievement. It could become self-righteousness. It could become something that's striving if we need to do it alone, whether that's because we think nobody else wants to or because we need to control it all or whatever the things that we mentioned. But, like, it's very lonely when it becomes an achievement, when we just boil it down to a goal or an achievement. But when it becomes that revelation, when it becomes this awakening to who we really are, and an expression outward, it automatically invites others to come alongside. Whether it is directly involved in seeing your dreams realized or just in an environment. Our dreams look like something, right? Our dreams look like something. It affects those around us. It inspires those around us. It involves those around us. And it reminded me of that thing, like, where if somebody had a dream to climb Mount Kilimanjaro or Everest or some peak, and they go it alone, you know, it's that tell long tale, like, they go alone and they get to the top of the mountain and then they realize they're all alone, right? It's like, because it wasn't about the goal of getting to the top of the mountain. It really, what brings such meaning is when we do it together. And if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together, right? You guys, I've said that before, I know, and I know that's the saying. Because there's something about together, there's something about connection and pursuing our dreams that actually make our dreams more than we could have asked, hoped, or imagined. I really believe that that is part of that that intention, how the Lord created us, and our dreams are not meant to be only for us. That there is this condition of connection. And when we're alive to that, it really makes them so much more. I want to invite Dave up, because Dave, you guys know Dave. He's amazing. He's playing guitar today, right? We love Dave. We were talking the other night, and he shared with me this experience he had with Holy Spirit. And it kind of touches on this, because something about Dave, is a social man. Dave, not in the sense of like he's always busy hanging out with people or whatever, although he kind of is. But Dave, like, he sees with everybody in mind. He has this filter that is so beautiful and so unique and different than my filter, and that has such a strength to see how it all works together, how we all work together. And so I want you to share that little. Wake up the wells, Dave. Let's wake up the wells.
This is a funny little experience I had. Actually, I think it was on the 31st. I was driving home right before New Year's, and I'm driving and worshiping and really getting into the Lord's really talking to me. And all of a sudden, the Lord said to me something very uncharacteristic. He said, "I want you to call the wells," which to me, you know, it's funny because to me, I try to avoid the cliche. So for the Lord to ask that for me was like, "Lord, you know, I don't," so cliche. Come on. And he's like, "No, I want you to do it." I'm like, "Okay, I'll do it." So I started calling it out, and I realized there was actually, the Lord started downloading to me stuff about identity. And which is really crazy was it took me actually stepping out of myself and actually, you know, obviously listening to what the Lord was telling me. And when I was calling out, you know, the well, I started realizing that New England has a very unique identity. And the Lord actually started, I'm going to read a little bit off of the sheet because a lot of it's fresh, so I want to kind of just read off it. But, you know, this is what the Lord was sharing with me. There is currently a war of identity happening in this country. Identity is what the kingdom moves from and operates in. We must know our own identity while at the same time sharing the fullness of God's identity, reaffirming heart, and prophetically calling out people's identity. You know, it's funny because I always been thinking about this. Like, I'm always thinking about ways for, you know, we're asking the Lord for ways for us to present basically Christ in us to the world in a way that doesn't come off as judgmental. And I think, and that's been just a big part of, I think, my journey since I was like 10, was just observing all the time, looking at people and saying, "I don't like that." And literally, that's what it was, because it was a reaction, but the Lord was moving in me. And I was like, "I don't like that. That didn't work. I didn't like that." You know, and just kind of, you know, noticing that. And what I'd realized was a lot of time, because we don't know our own identity, right, we become ethnocentric in the way we view other people. So we're so caught up in our way of the way that things should be, that we actually do the job of the accuser, because instead of affirming people's identity coming from heaven's perspective, we're stripping them of it. And that, when the Lord told me that, sorry, I'll get a little emotional because I was, you know, it hit me really hard. And I was like, this is, you know, historically, you know, you look at the way, like, you know, the British Empire, the Spanish Empire, all these empires went into the world and tried to force Christianity on these nations. It was God's will, but the way it went about it was, this is my experience of how God operates, and I'm going to confine it to this exactly. And I'm not going to operate out of identity, but what I think the Lord wants me to do. And when you do it that way, you don't look at people for what the Lord's already doing. You try to replace what the Lord's doing with your version of what should happen. And that's so dangerous. And I think this is where the Lord is calling us this year. This is a big thing. The Lord's, you know, COVID, all this stuff, I think it's actually building us up to something huge. It's not a handicap. It's not, okay, you're 2 years delayed. It's, no. I had to reset some things because, you know, I needed people to start working through these things, and identity is one of the biggest things here. And so, I'm going to make one with this. but, you know, I think where the biggest thing is, like, you know, if you understand your identity and you understand, you know, God's reaffirming character, then it becomes, okay, you know, one thing that I love is, like, in Indian culture, they love colors and dance and all that stuff. And if you go into that culture thinking to yourself, that's all the devil, let's shut it down, you're missing the point that God actually has a prophetic calling on it. This is a manifestation, not of the devil, but of what God intended. And when we go into all our interactions with different people groups and we see things that way, Lord, what are you trying to call out? We're unlocking, like, creativity. We're empowering people. And I think that in this current climate, this is a huge thing. I think this is, it's funny, you know, talking with, you know, hearing Paul's message, you know, Serena's, you know, that whole thing about you were on stage and you had this moment in worship where you were like, I grew up too fast. Yeah, that hit me. And I think, and then, of course, Daryl preaching about dreams, I think this is all tying together. Yeah. I think that, you know, and then you had a word, Mom, about God is unlocking us.
Yeah.
I think the Lord is, you know, going to bless us beyond measure, beyond our wildest dreams this year, but the biggest thing he's trying to instill in us is our identity.
Yeah.
And new levels of that, because I think that the blessings will highlight us to the world, but it's our identity and where our hearts are at when they come to us, seeking identity. Because the system of the world right now, what it's doing is stripping people of identity, like left and right. It's just people are just getting silenced, shut down, stripped, told what to be, told what to think. And what the Lord is looking to do is highlight us and bring people. I really feel like, I'm going to read this here just because it's put a little better. But here's the I'll just read it anyway. The words spoken this year about dreams from Daryl and God unlocking us from my mom are just setting us up for the context. God is really wanting to cement our identities in a whole new way, awakening parts of us that are asleep, show us parts of ourselves that we may never known. Also, he wants to show us our identity as a congregation and what we uniquely bring to the world. This creates the perfect place for not only God to highlight us with blessings and show the world that we are favored, but also give us the means to relate to the world in a supernatural way. People are going to start being drawn to us, but they will open themselves to us to receive us if we know our identity and learn to affirm the identities of others. As the world becomes more confused and less sure of why they are here and keep trying to find meaning and identity from all the voices that keep leaving them high and dry, they will come to us and for the first time in their lives know that we get them and that God loves them, and that they're loved, important, and seen. And as we embrace them, just as God embraced us while we're yet sinners, they will not only see his face, but catch a glimpse of how heaven sees them. This is the gateway to the largest revival this country has ever seen.
So good, right? I loved when Dave shared that. I was like, man, you got to share that on Sunday. I think it goes really well with what the Lord put on my heart. And just real quick, because I know it's already late, just this last slide, guys. I really felt the Lord say that this house is going to be a house of dream chasers. That we can be known as the people, because, man, do I want to see your guys' dreams realized this year as much as I want mine to. We're in this together, and man, this can be a place. I believe the Lord, why he's highlighting it so clearly is this place can be a place where there's dream chasers and the rumors about what's going on at FWC, because those people, they're starting businesses, they're pursuing the arts, there's such creativity coming out, education's being reformed. Like, what is in your heart to dream? And by seeking the Lord and keeping him the main thing, man. Just trusting in him, knowing our identity is centered in who he intentionally made us to be. It will cause an awakening to happen, that awakening to dream and go after it. So let's go after it, you guys. You're the dragon. It's going to be good. I love it.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit faithworship.org.